Thank you so much, ladies. Hey, boys and girls, it's time for Super Church. Why don't you make your way to the back, and let's give all of our boys and girls a big round of applause. Let them know that we love them today. There they go. And I believe they're starting to work on the Christmas program already. Yes, Christmas is around the corner. It's hard to believe. And it's going to be great this year. Our whole Christmas season here at the church, Lord willing, is going to be just terrific, and I'm excited about it. Do you have your Bibles today? Okay, whether they're tree or E, go ahead and open them or click them, whatever you need to do. And keep your Bibles near you. I'm not sure where you'd put them, but keep your Bibles near you. And turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. For the last few weeks now, we have been in the midst of a sermon series that we've called Great Expectations. Great Expectations. And what we're doing is not necessarily looking at our great expectations of God, although we should have huge expectations of God because He's a great and awesome and powerful God. Amen? But how many of you know that the Lord has some expectations of all of us? There are some things that He expects from those who call Him Lord and Savior. He has some great expectations of us. And I don't want you to be overwhelmed by any of these expectations, because here's what I know, that whenever Jesus has an expectation for me, He will equip me and strengthen me enough to be able to fulfill that expectation. Isn't that great? So God's not like this unreasonable father that says, you must be a scholarship athlete, and the kid has no talent at all. He is this loving father who says, not only do I expect this of you, but I'm going to give you the goods. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the way to fulfill these expectations that I have on your life. And that's pretty awesome, I think. And so just to kind of review a little bit, and you can find all these messages online on our website, and maybe someone else's, but on ours. Just to review, we started the series with this. God expects us to be worshipers on October 1st, and we talked about how our worship is not what we do on the outside, but it's what God has done on the inside first, and then that extends to our worship as the music begins playing. Then on October 8th, we saw that God expects us to be watchers, watching the signs and the times as they take place around us and how they relate to how God is about, I think, to kind of wrap this whole thing up, and He's kind of bringing things to a close, and how we need to be responsible as His believers to understand that we have a responsibility there if God is coming soon, and we believe that He is. Amen? Amen. Then on the 15th, we talked about being fighters and warriors. We looked how Jacob wrestled the angel, and how we should not stop wrestling in prayer and fighting in prayer until we see the answer and how we see the blessing take place. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we should be walkers, how the Christian life is not meant to be just docile and no movement at all. We can either take the wrong steps back, or we could just choose to remain and do nothing. Both are terrible. Our challenge was, let's move forward. And what is that first step? And some of you, you've taken that first step. For some of you, it was praying every single day. That was your first step. For some of you, it was reading God's word or trying to every single day. And that was your first step. Whatever it might have been that God was leading you to do, you took those first steps. And I got to tell you, when you draw near to God, He draws near to you. Amen? Now today, it's another W word. And some of you are just like, oh, what is it? I can't wait. You're really not saying that. But I believe that God's great expectation for us today is for us to recognize that we are worthy. Worthy. In His sight. Worthy in His sight. I've noticed that often what hinders someone's spiritual growth is often the fact that they do not see themselves within the context of what God's word has to say. We've believed lies. We believe what a coach said. We believe what a parent said. We believe what a family member said. We believe what a teacher said. We believe what somebody in church said, and it just hurt us, and we've had this stunted view. We've had this distorted view of who we are, and when really the person's whose opinion really matters is, what does God think of me? What's his view of me? What's my worth? If nobody thinks that I'm worth anything, does God? If nobody else has anything nice to say about me, where's God in all this? What's he think? Well, today I want to go there. See, because my purpose today is not to... Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to take you from where you're at now and say, okay, I'm going to nudge you until you're worthy. See, because there's nothing you and I can do. There's nothing you and I can do to make us worthwhile to God. Because we're flawed, messed up people. A lot of hot messes in this place. Can you say amen? You know who you are. And if you don't, you're pointing to somebody. So we got a lot of that here. So there's nothing we can do. And to be honest with you, you should say thank God for that. Because what makes you worth something is not what you can do, but it's what God's already done. It's not on how you, it's not based on how you succeed or fail or what your resume, your spiritual resume looks like. That's not what gives you worth in God's eyes. God gives you worth in his eyes. It's by his opinion, not by your accomplishments, not by your standing. And we're going to get to all that in just a little bit. To kick things off, will you stand with me as we read just a few verses in God's word? Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 3. We'll go through verse 6. But again, keep your Bibles near you, because we're going to read a lot of scripture. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can follow along on the screen. All of my verses will be in the New Living Translation today. So if it looks a little bit different than yours, that's why. It might be a different translation. Okay, you ready? Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us. Think of that, by the way. He loved you before he even made all this. Wow, you're significant to him. So even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. And he chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wants to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. I want to talk about you recognizing your worth in God's eyes. Let's pray. Father, I ask you that today you would once again bless the preaching of your word. We know that your word's already powerful, so we don't have to worry about that. But God, I pray that the delivery of your word and the reception of your word would be very anointed today. And God, that you would do an amazing work in every life here, Lord, from the beginning until we end with communion today. Lord, do great things, I ask, in your precious name. And we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I've been doing this ministry thing now for it's been more than 30 years now. And a chronic issue I see for a lot of believers, again, is not knowing who they are in Christ. There are people that maybe even go to church every single Sunday, but their view of who they are, of what they think God thinks of them, is so wrong. And maybe we've tried to maybe transplant someone's bad opinion onto God, and we assume because this significant person or these significant people in my life feel this way, God must feel the same way. And so he must think that I'm this, but God's word says so much opposite of that. But here's the deal. When you get an accurate picture of who you are in Christ, get this, it's this big circle. You get a more accurate picture of who God really is. Follow me here. Okay? So if you think that God is just this mean person, kind of like a cop in a speed trap, you know, and he snuck behind some sign waiting to nail you. Spouses are looking at each other. I'm not sure what's going on. But he's just waiting to catch you doing something wrong. And if that's your view of God, then you're seeing yourself as never being able to do enough, never ever being accepted. You're constantly looked at for what you do wrong. And so consequently, your view of God is distorted, and then your view of yourself is distorted, and it just keeps on going. But the other way around, if you understand what grace is, how many of you needed some grace in your life? How many of you? You were a mess, and God just cleaned you up. You were just headed for something terrible, and God changed your direction. You get this grace thing, and you get this mercy thing. And so for you, your picture of yourself is, I'm a forgiven son or daughter of God, and I serve this incredibly merciful, wonderful, graceful God. And that just keeps on going. And what happens, your view of him gets deeper, and your view of yourself, when the devil tries to lie to us, your view of yourself is so biblically sound that you will not listen to the lies. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can you say amen? So I want to talk about that. So you know, I'm not trying to increase someone's ego today. That's not it. I want you to see who you are in Christ. And when you get an accurate picture of your worth to God, then you're going to have a more accurate picture of who God really is. And the other way is correct too. When you get the right picture of God, you'll have the right picture of yourself. They go together. So this morning, and I won't preach long. There I said it. At least I tried. But this morning, I want to look at three things today that demonstrate your worth to God. Three things that demonstrate your worth to God. Because if you're going to move forward in this Christianity thing, you have to be accurate in how God views you. If you think you're just scum, you're not going to succeed as a Christian. You're not going to bear any fruit as a Christian. If you think that you are nothing, if you think that you are God's personal whipping boy or whipping girl, if you think that a target has been tattooed on your back by the angel Gabriel himself, and that they are constantly aiming at you every day, the stuff you want to accomplish for God's going to be so distorted and stunted, and I want you to experience God's best. So what's God think of you? Where do we see our worth? Number one, you ready? I believe, first of all, we see our worth in how he created us, his creation of us. You can find your worth in his creation of you. Anybody ever create something, like something with wood or sculpture, pottery, something like that? Anybody? Okay. It's interesting. For the rest of us are not talented at all, but it's interesting when you do that, the pride that you have in that thing. Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, I made that. I know the work that I put into that thing. I remember when I was in kindergarten. I've told the story before, but when I was in kindergarten, I was a master at making ashtrays. From my family. And so I'd come home from kindergarten, Mom, look, it's another ashtray. And you know, she didn't even smoke, but she appreciated the ashtrays, I guess. Some of you don't even know what an ashtray is. It was kind of like it's a bowl with little slots so you put your cigarette, and you just have to grow up dysfunctionally like I did. So anyway, so I'd present this, and I was so proud. Was it the Mona Lisa? No. It was an orange piece of clay with a bunch of bumps on it so that grandma can put her Virginia Slims on. But it's like, Mom, Dad, I made an ashtray. And I was so proud of it because I made it. It made it special to me. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Take a look at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Follow it on the screen if you want. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Look at the detail that God went through in just creating us, in creating you. Do you realize how many chemical reactions are going on right now in your body right now? You don't even know it. I mean, tons and tons and tons. And if one or two or three of those goes wrong, there's a problem. But God has somehow created all this and organized all this and made all this. And he took such great care in creating you. See, you're not junk to God. You're not junk. You may not look like a magazine cover, but that doesn't mean you're junk to God. You may have been rejected because of your looks. That does not mean that you're junk to God. You may have been criticized because of maybe you're not as intelligent as me. No, I'm kidding. But you're not as brilliant as your siblings, or that doesn't mean you're junk. And I hate that. I hate it when people don't see the fact that when God looks at you, he considers you his masterpiece. Max Lucado once said that if God had a refrigerator, he would put your picture on it. When God looks at you, he does not see an accident. When God looks at you, he does not see somebody who, oh no, what am I going to do with this mess? God has brought you into this earth with a purpose. And it doesn't matter how you line up to somebody else. What matters is how you line up to God. That verse that we first read from Ephesians says that he adopted us into his family. Some of you saw my son up here a little bit ago, and most of you know, and some of you may not, but we actually adopted Jonathan 18 years ago. We brought him home from the hospital, and what's really funny is that when people hear him talk, or he sometimes tries to act a little bit like his dad, not nearly as adorable, okay, but you know, he's still young, but he kind of looks like Annette, and he kind of acts like me, and we both were a little sarcastic. That's kind of our love language, and it's really funny, and there's no genetics involved in it whatsoever. We adopted it into our family, and what's interesting, I have learned in 18 years how much a person, when they grow up and when they become an adult, how much is heredity and how much is actually environment. God's adopted you into his family. And the more time you spend with your Lord, the more like him you're going to become. You're going to be just like him. That's God's goal for you, is to be like him. Not the star athlete. Not the CEO in your company. Not the Bowflex man. Not whatever, but God has a plan for you, and ultimately his plan for you, he has created you to become just like him, and he has a purpose for you. You say, Pastor, I'm kind of a mess. I mean, I've got some baggage, and I've been saying this a lot. Please understand that if you come here with baggage, first of all, you're among friends. Secondly, please know that God will never waste your experience. Never. I've made some mistakes. God won't waste your mistakes. I have been a mess. God won't waste your mess. He could turn around and use it for his good. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. You can find your worth in how he created you. Secondly, you can find your worth not only in how God created you, but secondly, in how God cares for you. He cares for you. Every single moment of your day, he has a plan. Sometimes when things get difficult, we think that God's forgotten about us, haven't we? We think that God's not there for us because we're kind of not getting the answer that we want, and it's not gift-wrapped in the way that we want to be gift-wrapped. But look at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is talking to all these people in Matthew 6, beginning of verse 25. And here's what he says. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink, enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek first his kingdom above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Isn't that a good reminder today? He cares about it all. Your smallest concern, he cares about it. Your big crisis, he cares about that. And he's able to do something about it. His mercies for me, the Bible says, are new every single morning. So when I wake up, whether I've had an extra hour of sleep or not, and I could tell who has and who hasn't, but when I wake up in the morning, God has something new for me. He wants to do something new in me. He wants to do something new for me. Can you imagine 7 billion people on this planet, and he cares for me? 7 billion people on this globe, and when I have a financial need, he cares about me. 7 billion people on this planet, and when I am hurting, he cares for me. Wow. Let me think of that. The God of the entire universe, the one that holds the whole universe together in the palm of his hand, the scripture says, he cares about you. God takes amazing care of his creation, including us, and yet you are much more valuable to the Lord than any animal, than any created thing. God made this. He said it was good. Of course, when he made woman, he said it was very good. Amen. Amen. All right. But of all the creation, you are higher on the priority list than him. He cares for you. Lots of verses in the scripture talk about God's care and concern for us. Psalm 121 verse 3 says, he will not let you stumble. He who watches over you will not slumber. The 23rd Psalm in the New Living Translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? He's your helper. I believe God cares for us when we don't even know that he's caring for us. I've seen some of you drive. I know what I'm saying today. But God comes through in ways that we don't even understand, that we don't even expect. And that shows your worth to him. When I was a teenager, I lost my mom after a long battle with cancer. I was 19 years old when she died. You can imagine how hard it was for a single mom raising three teenage boys going through all that. It was pretty crazy. And there obviously were some financial issues that we had because of that, and insurances didn't want to cover her or anything like that, and things were looking pretty bleak. My mom worked at a, for lack of a better word, she worked at a corporation that that made stuff, and she was in inventory control is what her position was, I guess, and she had missed work. My mom had missed work for like, oh man, weeks and weeks and weeks. I was working at a grocery store. I was the only source of income in our home for a little while as a senior in high school. And things were looking pretty bleak. It's like, what are we gonna do? We don't want it to be a choice of mom's care or food, but I mean, it got down to that. And my mom thought, okay, you know what, boys? I'm gonna go to Annixter. That was the name of the corporation. I'm gonna go to Annixter. And I'm just going to see if maybe there's a paycheck that I haven't received yet, or maybe I forgot about. And so she makes her way over there, and you know, she's pretty weak. I think my my brother took her, and she goes to her boss and asks her that question: "Do you have anything for me that maybe I forgot? Maybe a paycheck or something?" And she said, "No, but I want you to sit down." So she did. She said, "You you're going to be surprised by this, but all of us here at Annixter, we decided to do something. And we decided to have Phyllis Anderson Days." My mom's name was Phyllis. And we decided to have Phyllis Anderson Days. And I wish I could tell you the amount of the check now because I don't remember, but she said, here, is, and it was a huge check compared to what her income was. She said, "This is for you." These were not Christian people. But God somehow laid it on the hearts of people that didn't even know him to do something pretty special for a single mom fighting cancer trying to raise three boys by herself. And it was amazing. Mom was blown away, and we were blown away, and all we could say was, "God, thank you." I never forgot that. You don't forget that when that takes place. Now, if God didn't care about mom, and God, if God didn't care about those three rowdy teenage Anderson boys, then okay, maybe he wouldn't do anything. But how about that? That of all the people on the globe, he loved us. And he even put it on the hearts of people that many of them not even serving him to do something special. Isn't that good? Why do I share that story? Because I want you to be encouraged today to know that your worth to God can be found in the huge ways and in the small ways that God shows his care for you. You woke up today. That's significant. For a lot of you, that's significant today. You are able to breathe today. You're alive today. Some of you shouldn't be. I stood at your hospital bed and prayed with you. But God said, "I got a different idea." Your worth to him is found in his care for you. Lastly today, I want you to know that your worth in his eyes is not only found in how he created you, and it's not only found in how he cares for you, but it's also found in when he was crucified for you. And that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate expression of your worth to him, is the fact that he went to a cross and he died in our place. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says this starting in verse 4, "But God's so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you can be saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. See, look, your identity, understand me today, your identity is not found in someone else's opinion, okay? My identity is not based on whether you think the sermon's good or not. My identity is not based on whether you like my tie or not. My identity is not based on how you might judge my performance in life. My identity is not found in my job and your job. It's not, your identity is not found in what your boss thinks of you or your coworkers think of you. Students, your identity is not found in what your teachers or other students think of you. Your identity is not even found in your past. Your identity is found at the cross. That's where your identity is. Some of us, we have different things that have taken place in our past, but when God comes into the picture, everything is made new. You have become a new creation in Him, and your identity is found in the fact that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son to die for you. That is incredible that God the Father would send His Son to die this terrible death, hoping that humanity would receive Him as Lord and Savior. I adore my kid. I love my son. I don't think I could do that, folks. Think of that, parents. God loved you so much that He sent His very best for you. Romans 5:8. Many of you have heard it. God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God loved you with His best when you were at your worst. Let me say that again. God loved you with His best while you and I were at our worst. So my identity and who I am is not based on whether I'm a funny guy or whether I'm a good speaker or a good administrator. I mean, all those things are important, but my identity is found in not what I do, but my identity is found in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. And that is what gives you worth. You don't have to be bogged down by the opinions of other people. Those will change anyway. Sometimes the pat on the back is 18 inches away from, you know. But God's opinion of you will never change. Never. Never. He loves you with a love that never ends. It's so appropriate that we would come to the Lord's table to conclude things today, because when Jesus says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do it in remembrance of me. That's that circle we were talking about at the beginning. We remember what He's done, and it dawns on us, I am so worthwhile to Him that He did this for me. And then your picture of Him deepens, and you start disbelieving some of the lies that maybe you've heard for years, and then you remember again the whip and the nails and the crown of thorns, and you remember again the blood that flowed from that cross, and you realize, I'm significant to Him. My worth is not found in how I perform. My worth is found in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. That's where I find my worth today. Today, this morning, in this place. And this could be for whoever it is. Some people might think, well, that's just for a bunch of young people. I'm going to tell you, seniors, listen to me. Maybe you have believed a bunch of lies for so many years, so many decades maybe, that this could be the most liberating thing that has happened to you in a long time. To not worry about what other people think of you, but to see yourself as God sees you. That could change you. So today, when we come to the table, I'm going to ask my ushers if they could prepare themselves right now. When you come to the table, and when we hand you the little piece of bread, and we give you the cup, and we're going to ask everyone just to hold those. We'll take communion together. And when we look back at what the Lord did for us, I want you to be reminded that it wasn't just some act of nobility. He was not some martyr, but He died because you are worth it. You are worth it. Jesus, thank You. Thank You for your love for me. Thank You that my worth is not found in something that man contrives, but God, my worth is found in who I am in your sight. So Lord, I pray that today would be a day of freedom for many, that we would see now, who we are in Christ. So Jesus, I thank you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed as our ushers make their way to the front, I wonder today, is there anyone here? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I'd love to pray for you. Is there anyone here? You'll just say, Pastor, wow, I've been struggling with this. And the enemy tries to feed these lies to me. I believe them. I need a change. I need a renewing of my mind. I need to see who I am in Christ. I need my view of myself to be lined up with how God sees me. If that's you, I just want to pray for you, that you just need that change to take place in your life. Your hands are already going up. Is there anyone? Yes. Many hands. Are there others? I just need God to do something new in me. I got to quit seeing myself the way a spouse has seen me in the past, or a teacher saw me in the past. Or some leader who failed me saw me. I need to see myself the way God does. Hands are still going up. Thank you. And there are others. We'll correct. Real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. opens the door, I will come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. Call upon the name of the Lord. You'll be saved. Up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. To this front area and pray. Maybe you're more comfortable praying at your seat, whatever you desire. But if you need to touch base with the King of Kings on this, would you do that before you leave here and believe the truth of what the Bible has to say, how you are worthy. If God's released you, I invite you to please fellowship in the lobby so we don't disturb anyone who's praying. God bless. Father, thank you. Your word is so powerful. Your love, we can't even measure it. God, your power is amazing. So Lord, I pray that lies that maybe we've believed, maybe some for decades, maybe it's been a short while, but God, we would replace that with God's truth. And Lord, Lord, I pray that we would know that in your eyes, you're worth dying for. So touch your people. Amen. If you need to pray, do so right now. If God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed to fellowship with us.